Good morning and hello again. Today, Public Health Emergency Team convenes again. Nursing homes call for meeting with Minister Harris after coronavirus clusters. Also, we'll have updates from Germany and the Canary Islands. How to make a real donation for a virtual flower on what should have been Daffodil Day. How to eat and drink healthily during the crisis. Also, the President's yoga teacher has advice on relaxing. Mike Hanrahan of Stockton's Wing will treat us to a song and a stew. And our Friday gathering reviews the big stories, our big story of the week. Email today, sor@rte.ie. Text us on 51551. And you can also tweet at todaysor. Well, another meeting of the National Public Health Emergency Team is getting underway this morning. Yesterday, 10 people lost their lives to COVID-19 here. Another 255 tested positive for the virus. Last night, the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Tony Holohan, said they'd be reviewing, among other things, the effectiveness of the measures in place so far and to look at what, if any, further measures might be needed. Let's just listen now to some of last night's media briefing when George Lee put the first question. OK, we don't have that piece of tape just yet, but we are in a position to talk to on the line is Sam McConkie, a professor of tropical medicine and international medicine at the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland. And before we go to Sam, let's just hear that extract when George Lee asked the question of Tony Holohan.
That would be meeting 2 days in a row, of course.
Yes, it would.
You're hardly doing that for no reason. You're expecting maybe to announce some new measures?
No, I'm not going to say that. We meet on a continuing basis. We meet on the frequency of meeting. You shouldn't necessarily take as an indication that something is going to happen. It's a measure of the scale of work that we have to do around that table. It's a very substantial piece of work that we do through the National Public Health Emergency Team. We are meeting in the morning. There are some things, I have to be honest, that are of concern to us. There are some things that we see that are giving us some assurance, and I've mentioned those in terms of the numbers of contacts for cases and the fact that has reduced. That's giving encouragement in terms of the social distancing and the compliance on the part of the public. Some of the market research data that we've shared with you is giving us further encouragement in terms of the behaviours of the public, and we think, and we've said all along, that we think there is a high degree of compliance on the part of the public broadly with the measures that have already been put in place, which we have strengthened this week. We strengthened them again this week because we saw some things that concerned us in terms of the intensive care admissions, in terms of the numbers of cases overall, in terms of the level of community transmission, and in terms of the numbers in particular involving healthcare workers. And we're concerned about some ongoing features of the disease, even if the total number of cases hasn't grown at the rate that we might have indicated to you a week, 10 days ago. So we see a continuing increase day on day in terms of intensive care admissions. And we see, as you rightly say, clusters in a number of situations where we would not like to see infection, like in nursing homes and other long-stay residential facilities. And so we keep all of that under review. We'll be looking at that tomorrow. If anything further is necessary, I've said from the beginning, from ever before we had a case, if we needed to make a recommendation either to the public or to government in terms of actions that needed to be taken, then we would do that without hesitation.
So that was Dr. Tony Holohan, the government's chief medical officer, at last night's media briefing in the Department of Health. And as I say, I'm joined now on the line by Professor Sam McConkie, head of the Department of International Health and Tropical Medicine at the Royal College of Surgeons. We'll speak as well in a few minutes to Tadhg Daly, chief executive of Nursing Homes Ireland. First of all, what do you think is likely to be on the agenda at this morning's meeting, Professor McConkie?
Well, obviously, I don't know exactly. The things that I think they could be considering are how we can work more closely with Northern Ireland. We are all in one little island, and just as we've got great levels of social cohesion, togetherness and compliance in the Republic of Ireland on these measures, my view is we really need a joint approach with Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland's obviously, to say the least, a bit fragmented socially, economically, politically, you know, over the years. And getting the social cohesion there that people really all get on message together maybe is more challenging than in this country where we've, you know, much more sense of togetherness. So I think hopefully getting the North-South Ministerial Conference in Armagh going again, working together on the details of
that
what we can all do to
control
this.
That wasn't mentioned by Tony Holohan last night. He was accepting some things had gone gone right in regard, for instance, to numbers of contacts being reduced, social distancing, high degree of compliance there. People will have heard him talk about his concerns, though, particularly about two things, I think. One, the steady increase in the numbers going into intensive care, and also the number of healthcare professionals who've been hit by this, a quarter of the cases so far.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's really worrying, that we've nursing homes, the folk who live there are quite vulnerable, and if they catch it, that could be, you know, very, very serious for them. And similarly, if the healthcare workers are getting it, that means they're not available for work, and also it means that whatever sort of social distancing they've been doing or exposed to at work or at home hasn't really been effective in preventing transmission. So potentially we could do more things in nursing homes, potentially cleaning floors, varicidal wipes on floors, on surfaces, door handles, shelving, areas that are commonly touched. So we could, just like, you know how we go into the toilet, Sean, and you see a cleaning regime every 2 hours or something in the toilets sometimes, we could be doing something like that on commonly used areas in nursing homes and hospitals, for example. Maybe people going in, staff going in, need a checklist. Have you any cough, fever, fatigue, any symptom signs? Obviously, people had early symptom signs are better off not there. I think other things could be looking at, you know, if there is an outbreak in a certain area, to what extent do we have to try and control movement in and out of that area?
Would they be looking at maybe even bigger questions as well, like, for instance, whether there should be a shutdown of building sites that aren't providing badly needed and urgent spaces, like, for instance, hospitals or other healthcare facilities?
Well, I wouldn't single out the building industry because it's much needed, but you could make the broader question, should we be discontinuing temporarily all non-essential businesses in the Irish economy? Should we make a decision on what's essential, what's non-essential, and given 2 weeks holidays to the non-essential? That's certainly a consideration.
How much wider would that stretch the net, Sam?
I believe in China it took out about 70 to 80% of the industry. So it was actually quite radical. Now, businesses that can work from home, I understand that Google and Facebook and many of the IT sector have really successfully transitioned to business continuity. Everything's keeping going, even though nearly all the staff are at home. And that's great for businesses that are set up to do that. And that's what we've done in RCSI. We're largely teaching and learning from home. We're running all our sessions over the computer using lots of good IT technology. So I think businesses really need to try and keep things going. Without business, without keeping going, then you know we're really in a dire mess too.
Yeah.
But potentially a short term, you know, 2 weeks Christmas holidays. You know how here from the 23rd of December to about the 3rd of January, the whole world in Ireland more or less stops. I'm sure you do a bit of work, Sean, but the rest of us kind of, at least outside of healthcare, that there's a break. So that's another possible way. And that did happen in China. They stopped things around the 25th of January, and it's only about 3 or 4 days ago, 2 months and 2 days later, that the Chinese are back in business again.
Yes, they seized on the Chinese New Year, that particular timing. I wonder what you think of this text we've had. Sean, I'd invite people to look at the Dublin Airport live arrivals and departures webpage. There are planes coming and going from Europe, the UK and the US non-stop. How are we to control the spread of the virus when we are importing and exporting as if nothing is happening? It's a crazy break in our fragile defence.
No, well, I disagree with that. Our island at this point over the last 40 years is a very open trading nation. We're exporting about 90% of what we produce, and we're importing a lot of what we consume. So we're a very open economy, different from the US or China, where there's a big domestic market. Our domestic market for what we produce is tiny. So in my view, keeping the ports and airports open and exporting is absolutely essential. This is, as everyone suddenly realised, this is going to be a massive economic dent to us. And I know the ERSRI modelled 7% last night, but it could be, you know, 20 or 40%. So if we stop exporting, then that will amplify that dramatically. So we actually need to keep exporting. If we don't keep exporting our pharmaceuticals, for example, then we won't have the money to import the pharmaceuticals that we need to bring in to look after our sick people. So it's you have to have money to buy stuff. To get that money, you have to sell stuff. So it's absolutely essential, in my view, that we keep the ports and the airports open. But you're quite right, the humans coming in those planes could be vectors of disease. That's true. So maybe we need to be looking at 14 days of quarantine of the people coming in. And I believe, actually, the Department of Health came out with recommendations on that line about 2 or 3 days ago, said that people travelling in should do self-quarantine.
Yes, and that's what's happening, I think, with those patriotic young doctors who've made their way home from Australia and other places. Just as a specialist in infectious diseases, how concerned should we be that we now have apparently 9 clusters in nursing homes and 8 clusters in hospitals, as well as 2 clusters in long-stay residential care facilities?
Well, it's certainly worrying because it's hard to move people from, if they're in that nursing home, it's hard to move them to another one because there's a worry then they would transmit it to another one. So, and the folks, especially in nursing homes and even in hospitals, are elderly and vulnerable. So that's, it's not surprising. We know that this is an illness, you know, that's reasonably infectious, and it can have, 4 or 5 days of incubation before it becomes obvious. So, unfortunately, I'm not particularly surprised about that, but we have to try and deal with it robustly.
Yes, and just how do the clusters emerge, and is contact tracing the key, perhaps, to trying to nip them in the bud?
Yeah, not just contact tracing, but also then isolation of all the contacts. So all the staff who were looking after the patients or clients in a nursing home would need to be in isolation, and the other people, if they were in the same ward, for example, if it was a 3 or 4-bedded ward, then the other 3 people in that ward would have to be kept away from others and not moved around.
Yeah, stay with us if you can. You might like to comment on what we're going to hear now from Tadhg Daly, Chief Executive of Nursing Homes Ireland. Tadhg, what's your sense as to how people in your sector are able to deal with this, and also your observations on the clusters that have emerged?
Yeah, good morning, Sean. And maybe in the first instance, I could say a big thank you to the staff and acknowledge the staff across the sector and pay tribute to our staff across nursing homes. Yes, I mean, it's a worrying development, obviously, in terms of the information that has come out from NPHET in the last 24 hours. But I want to assure your listeners that the nursing home sector has been preparing for a number of weeks for this eventuality, working closely with, obviously, the HSE and the Department of Health. But at this point in time, you know, you've got to keep it in context. Obviously, it is concerning, but when you look at it, there's, almost 550 nursing homes across the country. So the challenge for us now is to ensure that we can slow down the spread, as it were, and make sure that the current outbreaks are maintained in those nursing homes and not, I suppose, get wider contagion at this point in time.
And can you give us a sense of how many nursing home residents are now positive for COVID-19?
Well, the figures are announced every evening. I mean, the policy is that detail is announced by the National Public Health Emergency Team. So I wouldn't be, making any further comments bar the figures that are released by Dr. Holland and his team.
Which is a general figure, with the exception of saying that 25% of the people who've contracted it are healthcare workers. Now,
yes.
We talked to somebody in your sector a couple of days ago.
That's correct.
And one of the issues, and it's not confined to the nursing home sector, it's there in the general healthcare sector, particularly hospitals, the question of personal protective equipment.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge, huge challenge right across the system. But I suppose we would argue that we're probably, it's more urgent in our sector given the vulnerability of the resident population, given that the care we provide is very much personal care to older people. Now, we are assured in the last number of days by the HSE that there's large volumes on its way. And what we're trying to do at the moment is ensure that there's prudent use of the existing supplies. But we need to give our members the certainty and the surety that when it does land, that we are being prioritised, because what we're doing here is obviously making sure that we can look after the residents, but as Professor McConkie said, the issue of staffing. If we have staffing who contract it, then they would have to be isolated for a period potentially, and also that means that they could actually be a risk of spreading it. So the whole area of PPE is critical, and I suppose we are concerned that many of the suppliers now are concentrating their efforts on the national effort. So when we make contact with suppliers, either as NHI or individual members, we're being told that everything is being directed towards the HSE. So that it has been a significant significant challenge over the last couple of weeks, but we're confident from the assurances from the HSE and Paul Reid and his team that that will be resolved over the weekend. But we still need to ensure that nursing homes are prioritised in the distribution of SAM.
I know you've been calling for a meeting with the Minister, which is now likely to happen early next week. What are you going to be pressing him about?
Yeah, we have a meeting, thankfully, finally, with Minister Harris on Monday, and we appreciate he's busy, but I suppose we'd make the point that there's 25,000 older people residing in our member homes. In essence, Sean, there's three issues, I suppose, if you like. I mean, there's a long list of items that we're dealing with operationally, but PPE is a critical issue, obviously. Staffing is a big, big issue, and it's a huge concern for us, because we've seen in the last number of weeks where the HSE are recruiting staff from nursing homes. We've asked the HSE to give an explicit commitment that they wouldn't recruit from the nursing home sector, because that's completely counterproductive. So that would be another issue we'll be dealing with the Minister. And the other issue on staffing is, I suppose, there is an unintended consequence of the general scheme announced in the last couple of days by the Department of Social Protection, because now that's meaning it's more difficult for us to recruit people, given that they have an assurance of €350 per week under the general scheme. So we do need to look at maybe some incentive for people to take up the available employment in the nursing home sector. The other element on staffing is nurses from overseas now are becoming more difficult because there's a travel ban. People, when they come in, they have to go to isolation. So we do need to work with the Department of Justice to ensure that we can deal with that issue. And the final issue is the issue of funding. We did make a submission to the Minister early this week. The cost of care has risen exponentially. We do know that extra funding has been made available by government to many sectors and indeed the HSE. So we do need an express commitment from the Minister on Monday that extra funding will be provided to to members.
How much?
Well, at the moment, I mean, we'll be having those negotiations, those conversations with the Minister, but we have put together our own submission detailing the extra cost. I mean, there's cost of staffing, there's cost of equipment, you know, there's a whole realm of cost there, which I think have been accepted by
but
government.
Are you talking about
sectors, but we need to ensure that we can, I suppose, maintain service provision at this point in time and maintain the sustainability of a sector that's so vital in any time, not least at a time of crisis.
Are you talking about tens of millions?
Well, we're talking millions, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the annual budget every year for the Fair Deal Scheme is of the order of 1 billion. I mean, you know, so there is a commitment there of the 1 billion. We do need a significant increase on that amount, as I said, to ensure that we can continue to provide high-quality care to our residents and also ensure sustainability. I mean, if we can sustain the nursing home sector, what will happen is all those residents will fall back on the public health system, which is already stretched, and that, you know, cannot be countenance.
Now, to come back to you, Professor McConkey, the Taoiseach said on his St. Patrick's Evening address that we could be looking at 15,000 cases here by the end of this month. There seems to be an expectation the actual figure come next Tuesday night, it's the last day in March, a fortnight on from his address, that the number will be much lower. Now, does that say that the containment measures are working, or is it just simply, you know, too early to say given that we're only at the start of the curve?
I do find the number of new cases in the last 7 or 8 days hopeful, and the rate of growth in the last 7 or 8 days is quite a bit less than it was in the previous week and 2 and 3 weeks ago. So as you know, I made some fairly dire predictions on your programme about 4 or 6 weeks ago based on the exponential growth then. But it's still growing, but the rate of growth has slowed down. So now we're seeing doubling every 4 to 5 days approximately. So I think we should take some hope from that. Is that due to all the social distancing we do in the contact tracing and isolation? Probably. Is it also due to changes in testing? As the numbers get bigger, obviously we've saturated the capacity to test everyone that needs or wants to be tested, and that also can impact on the rate of growth in these confirmed cases. So it's probably a mixture of both, but I'm really happy to see that our progress has not been as bad as I'd feared, and I think that is probably in part due to the successful things we've done. My question now is, do we need to do more to try and get to a point where we have fewer numbers tomorrow than we had today, and fewer numbers on Sunday than we have on Saturday,
and
so
the answer to that question you've just posed? Do we need to do more?
Well, it's a very, very complex equation in my view, because it requires cooperation with Northern Ireland, as I started out.
Yeah.
For us to do it in one side of the island and not in the other won't work. And is it the social cohesion, togetherness of all the people of the North to come along with us on that journey? Because us trying to do radical things here while it's not happening in Britain or in Northern Ireland.
Are you really saying, it's what you're, if you like, I don't mean to be offensive and say skirting around, but hinting at, Sam, perhaps something approaching what would be described as a lockdown, even though Leo Varadkar doesn't like that word?
Well, I don't like that word either because it's too vague. I think it's not specific and precise enough, and it's been used in different countries to mean different things. So it's kind of dramatic and vague, which is, in my view, a very bad way to communicate. But no, what I said was perhaps stopping all non-essential businesses for a week or two. That's a concrete proposal. Now, you'd obviously have to debate what's essential, what's not essential. Obviously, pharmaceuticals are essential. I would put to you that information technology is essential. Clearly, food production and distribution and transport is essential. So the way our economy works in Ireland, in my view, maybe there's a larger proportion of our economy that would fall into that essential bracket than was the case in China.
Okay.
So I think there's a lot of things, but I think we really need the folk in Northern Ireland on board and joined up with us in this response. So it's not just something I can say we should do this, we should do that. You actually need to have everyone working together on it rather than just half of us doing it and the other half not.
Okay, we leave it there. We'll see what emerges from that meeting and possible government measures in the aftermath. Sam McConkey, Professor of Tropical Medicines at the RCSI, thank you. Thanks also to Tadhg Daly, Chief Executive of Nursing Homes Ireland.